Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk. Welcome here to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That'll click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online. You'll be all set up to stream the show. And you can find us on Facebook these days. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World. Check out all the great stories and videos and animal stuff. Great entertainment there and occasionally some educational stuff, but phenomenal photographs and videos and stuff. Anyway, let's see. It is the fourth Sunday of a five Sunday month, and that means it's a behavior training and teaching show with me, joining us from his log cabin in the woods in Pennsylvania would be Walter Stoffel, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. And Nathan is here helping us out. And Walter, I believe that people can find you via your website. And if I remember correctly, isn't it WalterStoffelAuthor.com? Is that correct? Is that your website? WalterStoffelAuthor.com. Yep. And they can get a copy of Lance, the book, via your website, I think, right?
That is correct also.
All right. And we are dealing with a case of one of Walter's followers. When we decided that we were going to do these shows, Walter, I think you put out a plea saying, you know, send me your questions and stuff so that we'll be able to start talking about that. And that's how we generated this email. And as far as we know, Chewy is still with this family. Now, I think probably in case folks are just tuning in or just joining us, I better quickly read you this email again so that everybody's caught up. This is from Kathy, who also lives in Pennsylvania. She rescued Chewy, 18 months old, four-year-old male, purebred Pekingese, and shares my home with my 12-year-old female Pekingese and two cats. We've come a long ways, and he's really a great pal, but he's a constant challenge. He's great with me and my husband, but here's the problems. He lunges at anyone entering the house and bites hard. He bites ankles and will jump up to bite your hand. I need to put him in another room when people come over. He's obsessed with the cats. After some time and gradually acclimatizing them, I finally just let them live together. Well, Chewy will actually bite chunks of hair clumps out of the cat and try to eat the fur. One cat is pretty good at doggy defense, but the other one is so scared by him and his loud bark and bite, he's actually pooped in place on more than one occasion. So he's had the you-know-what scared out of him. I can't believe they're allowing that to continue to happen. Three, he wants to chase trucks, motorcycles, trains, bicycles, joggers, etc., and bite them. Here's some history. His mom was a breeder. He didn't qualify to be a stud because of the behavior. Quick sale on Craigslist. Went to a family, adopted him at about a year old. He was surrendered because of biting entering the house. They gave him to a rescue they thought would reform him. They put him on Pet Finder. And then this family, Kathy, her husband, adopted him from out of state. Within a week, he bit somebody, and anyway, four homes in 4 years. She brought him to a trainer that did an intake assessment and said he probably inherited the stress from his mom, who may have been overbred. So chalking it all up to genetics. He's on Prozac now. Problem is, I can't go on vacation because no one will watch him. Sorry for the long story, but would love any insight. Thank you so much, Kathy. Okay, yeah, I'm kind of like, well, where do we start? So, asked Walter last the end of last hour, you know, what's your impression and what would you kind of do? And Walter said, well, I'd like to know if the Prozac is working. So we kind of addressed that. But then when he said, well, but what have you learned from me so far? What would your best guess as to where to start with this? I didn't get anything from Walter. I'm on overwhelm, and he flashed back to Lance, and I don't feel like I've helped Walter at all. All right, Nathan. So hopefully you can redeem us a little bit, or me a little bit here. So you hearing and reading this, what are you thinking?
Sure. Well, first of all, my mind is kind of thinking about, this is something we haven't really addressed yet on the show, and it might be a myth, it might be fact, but I just wanted to talk about, you know, the nature of dogs and cats. I mean, naturally, they do not get along, correct?
Well,
I mean, they have to be conditioned to get along with each other. And like, first natural instinct is to not get along with the cat. But that's not really the point I'm going towards. This is kind of something that was originally ingrained in my mind. It was like, well, this dog has a strong nature of, you know, not getting along with cats. But really what's going on here is what everything has in common is biting. You know, point one, two, and three all have to do with the motivation to bite something. And one thing I first noticed almost instantly was the dog's name is Chewy. And, you know,
that's interesting.
It's
okay.
His name, I believe it. Yeah, he is a
yeah, Chewy.
Yeah,
well,
so
you
like
know,
Chew,
names,
and
yeah,
like
right.
When and somebody's dog is doing something it shouldn't be, I mean, maybe the instinct of the owner, their response to that is to say the dog's name. So you're going like Chewy, Chewy, no. But so what the dog is hearing is maybe Chew, Chew, Chew.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and I mean, talk to you about, you know, when thought directs energy, mm-hmm. that, I may have told you a radio story of a cat that all we did was change the name and it changed the behavior of the cat.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that story? Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of thing you're thinking about.
Yeah, that's what came to my mind with you, but also what the person or Kathy is engraving in the email, it says like saying things like he's a constant challenge. So more of that, you know, the thoughts like he is a, not like.
You're going still with the thought directing energy, yeah. And that maybe she shouldn't be saying that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he wants to,
okay.
Like,
now, all of those things, all of those things are subtle influences from around, you know, around that mm-hmm. thought directs energy, that names have energy attached to them. I would be more concerned about the name Chewy if this dog was a household destructor, chewing everything up. At this point, his name being Chewy, I don't think that has anything to do with what's going on with him. And I don't think that that's a major issue. At this point, I wouldn't personally be picking about, you know, her describing and talking about the negative behavior. Because, Nathan, we asked for that. Mm-hmm. We asked, you know, what are the problems you're having with your dog? So what the point I made when it, you know, you're talking always about the problems is that when you own a dog like this, if Kathy and her husband are constantly talking to people, oh, we love Pekingese. We had a Pekingese. We thought we'd get another one. And this one is terrible and bites everybody and everything and bites the cats. And we can't have people over. We have to put him in a room. We can't go anywhere because no way will take care of him. And they're constantly telling those stories. Well, in a case like that, then they're constantly giving it their mental energy and they're helping it to continue to happen. But reporting to us or to me as a behavior therapist right. and trainer, what's going on doesn't really fall into that category. Does that
okay.
make sense?
Yeah, yeah, I get
okay.
it.
So
yeah.
I'm looking for more looking at the behavior issues we're dealing with. What most logically makes sense to you at this point that we would start to address this?
It would help for me too if I knew the nature of Pekingese. Like, are they pretty active dogs? Is this dog getting enough exercise?
Okay.
And
all right. Now, that
activity?
Is a big part. And that's something that I will be talking to you about, because the first thing or place I'm going to start is what's the drill with the Pekingese. But I want more. I'm talking more about what will we do on a behavior level, or training or correction or whatever, to start getting this under control. Well, okay. This is exactly, thank you, Divine Mother. This is why I got told to ask this question. It's my, it's frustrating that we've spent all this time. So looking at this, let's start where we covered Walter's base, wanted to know about the Prozac. We don't know if that's helping or not, but it's not the answer for a dog like this. There's not a problem with doing it. And if he's one of the dogs that they think it's helping somewhat or made somewhat of a difference, that's okay. And I wouldn't stop the psychotropic drug until I had things more under control. The first thing I talk about is the fact that we've got a Pekingese here. Well, Pekingese anymore are kind of, I rarely, if ever, see them. They're not a real common small breed of dog. So, and people either love them and know a lot about them or don't know anything usually. And so they're not that easy to come by. But part of the problem here is the fact that he's a Pekingese. These dogs, you know, they're the kind of the long, they have long hair, kind of a brachial cephalic or more of a flatter face. But they were bred to, you know, lay on the foot of the queen's bed and protect her. They don't bite anybody that comes around. So genetically, they are not a breed that is considered to be a real social dog. Pekingese are often biters. I remember as a child and growing up, I remember friends and, you know, families of friends having Pekingese and everyone having to be really cautious of them and give them a wide berth and not mess with them, because it is not unusual for Pekingese to be biters. Okay. So, you know, thinking about that, Nathan, was actually, you know, a good thought. Because we always have to keep in mind, you know, what has this dog been bred for? What are they like? That sort of thing. So being able to turn this dog into a social butterfly that loves and accepts everything and everyone is probably not a realistic expectation here, because he's a Pekingese. The other, if we want to go on a general level and looking at the history, apparently, at least according to Kathy, she says the breeder didn't keep him because he couldn't be bred because of his behavior. So he obviously had a feisty and snappy personality from the beginning. I'm disappointed to hear that the breeder would place a dog like that without doing some behavior modification and working with the dog first, or finding a specific home that would work for this particular dog. So we have the fact that he's a Pekingese. They're not social butterflies. They're biters, but that doesn't mean it's acceptable to live with. And minimally, we should be able to control this dog to the point that he is not barking and lunging and going after people and biting everybody. And then, of course, this is whole relationship with the cats. All right, so when I look at this, it looks to me like Kathy and her husband fell into the, oh, poor Chewy picture, that it's his fourth home in 4 years. And, you know, he just keeps getting dumped back into the system. And so we label them victims. And we feel sorry for them. Well, you label them a victim and you keep telling the stories about the history and the abuse. That's where, you know, the thought directing energy comes in, Nathan, and that can amplify the problem. Okay. But I think often what people do to compensate for that is we try to make it up to the dog now. And so I'm kind of thinking like Kathy and her husband have done a pretty good job of spoiling this Chewy dog pretty rotten. Okay. Because they say he's great with them. So he's obviously not an owner-directed aggressor. He's not trying to bite them. But it doesn't sound like they're doing anything to address his out of control lunging. And now I'm assuming he barks and as he's lunging and going after people and biting. She didn't mention barking specifically. That's probably because the biting is overriding that. But there's no talk here of, well, we worked with the trainer or we tried this and that or this sort of thing. Sounds like Chewy is like most of the adult dogs I see, spoiled rotten, does not have a clue that humans are in charge. And he's just doing what he thinks dogs are supposed to do. You know, remember, we go back, dogs are pack animals. They stay with their pack. They're territorial. They stay on their territory. And anybody outside of the pack or the territory is considered a threat and is warded off. So that's where Chewy is now. Anybody but my people, there, I don't want him around. And so he's doing what dogs do under those circumstances. But and it may be they've tried a lot of stuff and she just didn't tell us all of that. We don't know that. But for right now, it looks like at least with the biting the people, we're only preventing and avoiding. You know, can't have anybody over unless we put them in another and we put him in another room. So that's a prevent and avoid. Now, the other thing that I know, Nathan, I'm going to break here as soon as I finish this thought.
I just had a question, too.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at timing-wise. I thought we've got to take care of advertising. The other thing is the cats. They're preventing and avoiding with this dog biting people, but it sounds like they're not preventing and avoiding with the cats. Now, and the focus, we tried to acclimate the cats to the dog. No, that's wrong. You should be acclimating the dog to the cats, and he's the one that's in trouble. But what they've done, it sounds like, is just threw the rules out and just let the dog be loose with the cats. And so be it if he chases the cat and grabs a wad of hair and wants to eat it. Why the heck is this dog given all this freedom and allowed to do this stuff? Remember, did I tell you? I told you, I know, over and over and over again. What is the first mistake that people make when they're raising puppies, young dogs, or get a new dog? What's the biggest problem? I got blank stares. Too much freedom too quickly. This dog has way too much freedom. And that's where we need to start. Okay. Did you have a question, Nathan, before we go to advertisers?
Yeah, I was just curious about the, because I don't, like, in my reading and listening through it, don't see any indication specifically about spoiling. And I was just curious where you found the indication that the dog was getting spoiled. Because I'm also thinking, too, based off the Pekingese. Maybe
That comes from, they say that we've come a long ways, probably working on their relationship with him, and they've done a lot of spoiling in order to get along with the dog. But where I really see it is where these people already had these cats, and in comes Chewy, and he's a jackass. Okay. And he's trying to kill the cats. But instead of dealing with Chewy, they've given him total freedom and letting him wreak havoc with the cats, and the cats are the ones that are suffering. What sense does that make?
I see now.
Nobody saw the Homeward Bound movie? Cats rule, dogs drool. Okay? The cats are the ones that should be honored here, and they should not lose their freedom and their safety because an idiot an out of control dog comes into the household. The dog is the problem. He does not deserve this kind of freedom until we teach him right from wrong and some impulse control. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see it now.
Okay. Now, let's take care of our advertisers so we don't get too far off schedule. And then we'll come back and I'll tell you with the little I know here about this, the options for addressing this, and then where I'd begin in terms of working with this. So stay right where you are. Animal world continues. Is there hope for Chewy, the biting Pekingese, or not? Of course there is. Stay right where you are. Animal world continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Accutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Easy on the ears, good for the soul. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and now we are midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We just heard from our wonderful NuPro supplements, great supplements for dogs, cats, and horses. Check them out at NuPro, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O supplements.com. And, of course, Jude Ponton, Whispering Dragon, is open for business in her home in Shoreline now. Great location, fabulous energy in the gong room, and she can work with you in person or remotely. And she's done a new lunar New Year video for us, sound healing with the gongs and so forth. You can access that on her Facebook page, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook. So check her out, whispering-dragon.com, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook, or give her a call at 206-706-2836. Alrighty. So we are talking about Chewy the Pekingese, 4 years old. He's on his fourth home in 4 years. He's a biter. He aggressively lunges and goes after anybody that answers or that enters the house and bites hard. And by that way, that one lunge bite hard. That's a Pekingese trait. Lhasa Apso's do it too. And also Lhasa's just go for the face sometimes in one bite. He bites his ankle and will jump up to bite at hands. They can't have people over unless they put him in another room. He's obsessed with the cats. They tried to acclimatizing the cats to the dog. And then they just gave up and let Chewy go and let them all live together. And I guess they decided to just let the cats fend for themselves. One seems to be doing an okay job of the doggy defense. The other one is scared to death and poops his pants right on the spot because he gets the you-know-what scared out of him by the dog all the time, who's grabbing hair clumps and eating them. So and they also, now it's interesting to me, Nathan and Walter, but the bottom line, the problem is I can't go on vacation because no one will watch him. So that sounds like that's her biggest problem. Not the fact that she's got a dog that bites everybody under the sun and her cats are terrorized. To me, that's the biggest problem. Now, when it comes to, I can't go on vacation because no one will watch him. First of all, when you have a dog like Chewy that bites everybody, or Walter, like you have a dog like Lance back in the day, you know, who was so volatile and could bite everybody and all of that sort of stuff. This is not a dog that's a candidate to have a friend dog sit for you if you go on vacation. It's not a dog that you have go stay at your friend's while you're gone, or have a friend, you know, take care of them. Unless, of course, it were a friend that the dog is bonded with and completely accepts like it does the owner and doesn't bite, then as long as that person prevented and avoided during the time they were caring for the dog, that might work. But now it might be different in your area or back in Pennsylvania where Kathy is, but if she lived out here with the dog, I could say unequivocally, there's no reason why you can't go on vacation. You just have to leave him with professionals that know what they're doing and can handle him. Any good behavioral trainer would be able to take care of this dog and handle him just fine. So, and fortunately, we have a facility like that here in our area, and that's the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell. A dear friend of mine, Colleen McDaniel, she and I grew up in the world of dogs together. We met as teenagers and began our professional work, with dogs together and training and all of that. And they have a phenomenal facility and do board and train, daycare classes. And they specialize in dealing with this kind of dog and the problems. So if Kathy lived out here with Chewy, whether or not they did any work with Chewy at all to solve the problems, they could board the dog at the academy and the academy could take care of it and be able to do that because they know dogs. So there's got to be somebody back in the area, wherever Kathy lives, professionals that understand dogs well and would be able to care for the dog when they go out of town. But because I don't live back there and know what you're dealing with, I don't know where to refer them. But does that make sense to you that, someone that really knows dog behavior could handle the dog? This just isn't a case where you have a best friend take care of your dog for you when you're gone. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So now, and speaking of the academy and board and train sort of thing, now that is often an option. And when, the bottom line is how much money do you want to spend? But if you have money to spend, then depending on where you are and what's available, at least out here, you can send the dog to the academy and through their board and train program to resolve a lot of these problems. And they specialize in dealing with this kind of dog because this is why they started their whole program to begin with. I've probably told you on the air before, but I don't know if it was during the show, but Back in the 1980s, when I stopped teaching obedience classes, started working with people privately and creating the way I work with people now as a behavior therapist and working in their home to actually solve the problems, I ran into a lot of dogs that I knew were retrievable and could be turned around behaviorally, but the owners would not be capable of doing it. Even though I knew what to do and could instruct them, the owners couldn't do it. And I didn't have a facility where I could take the dogs and work with them. So I needed someone who could take the dogs in, reprogram them, and then get them back and re-enter them back into the home with their owners, if that was going to work out. And they have done gazillions of dogs and board and train for those purposes. And most of the time, they can rehab the dog and bring get it back to the owners, and the dog works out very well. Every once in a while, it's not the right owners for the dog. It's not the right dog for the owners. And then they have to rehome the board and train dog and find a new dog for the other people that works better. But that's a rare, rare occasion. So if Kelly or Kathy and her husband and Chewy lived out here, they'd have an option if they had money to spend, rather than, say, me educating them and working with them and teaching them how to solve the problems with Chewy. They could just cough up the money and go to the academy and do the board and train, and they'd do all the hard work. Then they'd just have to follow up and integrate him back in. Does that make sense? So that's an option. All right. But now let's look at, what's going on with the dog? And remember, I'm going back to what's the biggest mistake people make with dogs? Too much freedom too quickly. Now, I do agree that when you don't know what to do and can't control it, prevent and avoid is much better. So putting the dog in a bedroom when people come over is an appropriate way to prevent and avoid. But, you know, mistakes happen. And sooner or later, somebody forgets to close the door enough, or somebody goes into the room unexpectedly, or mistakes happen and people get bitten. So you're better off to address the problem and teach this dog some impulse control. And remember, we have to work to teach dogs that we are more social than they are. So the first thing I would do, of course, I would look at what this dog is eating and all of that, and make sure we don't have any ingredients in the food. Remember, when we've got biting dogs, what's the first thing we eliminate from the food?
First Crickets. Thing we eliminate from the food.
Beef. You got an aggressive dog, you don't want to feed beef. When beef is in the system, chemically, there can be a reaction in the brain that brings out aggressive tendencies. So we don't want to be feeding something that makes them more aggressive. So we don't want this dog on a beef diet or getting beef treats all the time. Now, then we'd look at physical health and all of that. This is where we could bring in Dr. Nels, and, you know, he works remotely, so they can take advantage of Dr. Nels. And Kathy, if you're listening, I would be getting on Nels' website, Healing Ministry for Animals, and fill out that contact link and request the free Zoom session, because you can get a free Zoom session and we can get Chewy treated for free the first time. And you know more about this, and then that would give you, see how you feel about that and see if you think it makes any difference with him. That would be a really good thing to do. Now, then I would teach him everything I teach. But see, the first place I'd start is that when you don't want to deal with it and can't deal with it, you can prevent and avoid, and you can, you know, put the dog in the bedroom. But until you address it for what it is, you're not going to solve the problem. So the first thing is, remember, this dog has too much freedom. So the first thing I do is make sure this dog has a collar on it, just a, you know, a buckle collar, a regular flat collar that's on snug enough that it can't pull out of the collar, and then a leash. Okay. Remember, we talked about sometimes you just have them drag a leash around, or you keep them attached to you on a leash. All right. So first step is we need a good collar on the dog. We need a good leash that the dog can drag around or be attached to the owner with. Then we've got to work with the situation. Remember, I told you when you want to extinguish behavior in dogs, what do? you got to be consistent and you got to nip it in the bud. So the instant it starts, you shut it down. So where do we start? Well, what does this dog do? Can't have anybody come over because, and I'm assuming the dog barks and lunges, at the person and goes to bite. Well, if you have the dog on a leash when they come in, the dog can't get to the person to bite them. And you can start educating the dog. So then we go back to, does anybody remember the 4-step correctional teaching sequence and training tools? Hello.
Sound interrupt.
Yeah. Hello.
Big
hello.
No.
Yeah. Hello. Remember the magic penny can? That's where we start. Okay. All right. Now let that ruminate for a moment. Let's take care of advertisers. So we stay on schedule and then we'll come back and I'll explain to you how I would how I would start this session and how I would work with it and what we do. And we'll give Kathy some practical, logical stuff that she can be ruminating with and break this all down, do as much as we can with this before we go on to Lance. All right, so stay right where you are, everybody. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have 2 professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and 2 live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Find our app in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and take us with you wherever you go. Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we heard from our wonderful Linda Rasmussen, who also practices the bioenergetic synchronization technique, but she works primarily with people. Whereas, brother Dr. Nils works mostly with animals. Now, you can check Linda out at her website, which is verticalenergyworldwide.com, verticalenergyworldwide.com. She works out of the Intraspace facility in the old Rainier Brewery in Seattle, and she also works remotely. Now, she also offers a free introductory session, which you can do in person with her if you live out here, or you can do it remotely over the phone or by Zoom and, that's that sort of thing. And this is often a good thing to work with Linda when we've got an owner like Kathy and her husband, particularly if, Kathy, if you and your husband have been traumatized by this whole Chewy thing and all the things you've been through, and you have real fear or nervousness about having him around other people and all of that sort of thing, then it can be very helpful to do a session with Linda so she can help move those emotions out that are interfering. And so if you call or text Linda at this number, y'all can have a free session. And so it's Linda Rasmussen, verticalenergyworldwide.com. Call or text her for a free session, 206-841-1992. All righty. So, do anything wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on? We'd love you to join our Animal World family of advertisers. And if you're interested, shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Okie dokie. So, we go back to Chewy and all of this. Now, the first thing, if they were out here, the first thing I would do is set up, you know, a private session with them. And so I would find out from them when I'm talking, you know, do the phone evaluation and what we're dealing with. I would know that Chewy's a biter and that he barks and lunges at anybody that comes in the door and acts like an idiot. Okay. So that's where I begin. So what I would give the instructions I'd say is when I get to your house, I'm going to come up to your door. You're going to leave Chewy inside and you're going to come out with me. And I would explain the magic penny can, you know, the empty aluminum can, one roll of pennies, 50 pennies in the can, duct tape on the top. I'd make sure they had Chewy on a leash with a collar that he can't pull out of. I'd give him the training tool, send him back in the house and close the door, but leave the door unlocked so I can come in when I need to. Then we would begin the training right there. So I would knock or ring the bell on the door, and at the instant Chewy started to bark, then they would go into that four-step correctional teaching sequence with the altered sequence for barking. So the first bark out of Chewy, they'd shake that can once in front of his face and he'd go, "Yikes!" and shut up. That's exactly what we want. So then they'd say, "No, be quiet." Give him only a second to think about it. If he stayed quiet, they'd praise good quiet. That's a good quiet. So I'd knock again or ring. He barks again, shake. "No, be quiet." Good quiet. That knock again, shake. "No, be quiet." And we wouldn't continue until I can knock or ring the bell and he doesn't bark. Then I would come in. Now, I can't be the bad guy going in if I'm going to establish a relationship. And I know with him, I'd just get bit if I tried. So I come in very passively, don't make eye contact, ignore the dog. But I'd test another thing at that point. As I walked in, and you know, he's now on a close leash with Kathy. And Kathy, see, this could be duplicated with friends of yours. You have somebody come over that you could practice this. But I would test at this point. I use string cheese for reward and motivation. So I always have a pouch on my waist that has cut up string cheese. I would drop a piece of cheese in Chewy's direction to see if he picked it up. Because a lot of dogs will go ahead and grab the cheese right away and eat it. Some of them, no, they won't. So all of the barking, lunging, biting is based in fear. Okay. And if the fear is really deep seated on an emotional level, it'll override the hunger drive. So if I toss that cheese out and the dog takes it right away, I get to tell the owners, "Hey, this is really good news. This isn't really deep seated. So we should be able to work through and get control pretty quickly." When they don't go after the food, then we know the fear is strong enough and deep seated enough to override the hunger drive. So that means we're going to have to work harder to solve the problem. All right. But anyway, that's the way I'd start it. So, now where we would begin is that when, because it sounds like you could use both Kathy and your husband here, one of you would manage Chewy, have him on a leash attached to you with your training tool. The other one can answer the door and let someone in, sort of thing. But a good place to start would be, you know, inviting someone over that knows the situation, and you tell them you're teaching Chewy better behavior, and they're just to ignore the dog when they get there, and you'll be taking care of him. So it'd be the same thing. See, we don't actually usually ever have to address the biting because you don't ever let it get to that stage. So you're there with your training tool, your penny can, you got the dog on the leash, the person comes in, the instant, it could be a bark, it could be him alerting on the person and starting to move towards them. But the second he starts to go after, that's when the interruption comes in with the shake of the can right in front of his face. And then no, be quiet. If it's barking, or no, leave it if he's quiet and just lunging. As soon as he stops, good, quiet, good, leave it. And when we have the people ignore. Now, sometimes, and I've had some real dramatic cases with this, we've got dogs that have done this barking and biting people for years without resolution. And I come in, and I'm thinking of a 10-year-old Shih Tzu, black Shih Tzu. Barks like a banshee whenever anybody's around, and would bite if pushed. So they couldn't. Now, the dog was so loud and so bad, these people couldn't put their dog in the bedroom because it was still too loud for anybody to be able to sit and converse in the house. They had to take this Shih Tzu outside and put it in the car when somebody came over because it was that bad. All right, so I went and did the session. The dog, the Shih Tzu barked at the door when people came. So we went through the process I just explained to you. The dog stopped barking, was under control. I came in. That was the beginning of the end of the problem. I got them educated, taught them all the sequences, worked with the dog. They never had to lock that dog up again. The problem was solved from the day I was there. And the problem was no one had ever told this dog that the behavior he was engaging in was wrong in a way that the dog could understand. As soon as he knew what was wrong, he was on board. So very likely our Mr. Chewy here is in the same square, that he doesn't know what he's doing is wrong. He's just being a Pekingese and doing what they do. And no one has really known how to engage with him and teach him exactly what's wrong and what's right. Doesn't that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right. So, see, the first step is batten down the hatches, lock this kid down, and this dog gets zero freedom until he earns it. Now, another thing we don't know from this email is if Chewy is crate trained or not. Now, I would assume, since he came from a breeder, breeding lots of peaks, you know, and mom was a breeder, but he didn't qualify, so the breeder got rid of him. In a situation like that, those dogs are usually raised in crates, and they're in crates a lot. So chances are he was crate trained as a puppy, and in a crate a lot of the time. Now, sometimes when they then get adopted out, we feel bad about the crating and don't want to confine them, so we kind of bail out on that. But if it was done when they were younger, we can then sometimes go back to it and use the crate with them as an adult. So if he's crate trained and we could use a crate, I would definitely have a crate available for him for timeouts, for one, but also to prevent and avoid and put him in the crate when we can't directly supervise or control the situation. So specifically with the cats. So not necessarily with strangers coming around, but with the cats. And so it's all about Chewy would have to learn the solid leave it four-step correction, the be quiet exercise. Since he jumps up, he's going to need the off sequencing as well. And Kathy can get all of this from, you know, the archives of the show. You go to MarthaNorwalk.com click on the audio archives and you can go back and listen to all these teaching shows and you can get all the details on all of this stuff. But the first thing is we'd take Chewie's freedom away. We would elevate the cats back up and give them the hats out, and he wouldn't have any freedom around these cats. The leave it exercise would work great with them as well. So it would be, the first thing would be teaching him that chasing the cats is wrong and that he is never to do that. We would do that either with training, with a correctional teaching sequence, training tool, leash and collar, or timeout is a really good behavior modification correction for chasing cats. So the cats are, remember the timeout sequence? Dog goes after the cat. We step on that leash, take him, put him in the crate, cover it up, set the timer for 3 minutes. He's got to be quiet in the crate, let him out, all's forgiven, bring the cat back in. If he goes for the cat again, boom, he's back in the crate, covered, timeout, 5 minutes this time. Then you bring him out, bring the cat back. He goes again. He's in for 10 minutes, then 15 minutes, then 20 minutes. You don't do more than 20-minute timeout, but you always start at the bottom and gradually sequence up. That's what gets the dog a chance to realize, oh, when I chase the cat, I am isolated. I don't want to be separated from my people. I'll stop chasing the cat. So I think that's all we got time for at the moment, because we've got to close out hour number two, get on the love train, and then come back with hour number three. I think we'll finish up a little more here. But see, the bottom line would be, it's hard for me to say this is absolutely the way we do it with Chewie, because I haven't met Kathy and her husband yet. They would have to have the right personality and temperament to drum up the actor and actress inside of them and be good, powerful alpha leaders for Chewie. And then they got to lower the boom. And we got to stop the behavior, stop the barking, stop the lunging. And if you stop the barking and the lunging, you've stopped the biting, because he doesn't ever get to that point. Okay. Then we got to start changing the way he feels about people and about the cats. And that's more of the long-term behavior modification stuff. So does all of that make sense to you guys?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll regroup and see what questions and what more we want to talk about with Chewie after the top of the hour. And then we can talk more about Lance. So stay right where you are. We are getting ready to get on the love train. And remember, dancing is required. This is the exercise portion of the show, and help Martha get back in her clothes after the pandemic and lockdowns and all that sort of thing. So dancing is required, but you can dance in your head. You can dance in your bed. You can dance in your chair. You can dance anywhere, or get up on your feet and join the love train with me. I'll come by and pick you up. Let's spread love and light all over the planet. And I always energize up the love train music with the energization, our yogi energization prayer. Here we go with that. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. O eternal youth, the body and mind, abide in me forever and forever via the love train. And it's coming right up. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.